And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Getting ready to get another week cranked up. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe with you. Willie will join us a little bit later in the program. Max Herz is on our board, manning things here today with us. Our Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by Rumble On. .com. Chaser, how was your weekend? How was your birthday weekend?
Oh, it was good.
You lived to tell about it?
I did. It was a lot of fun. I took in a Sounds game Friday night, so
yeah.
That was cool. Packed house. Good to see. Good to see a good crowd on hand. And
do you do your Jeff Fisher voice when you do that?
Packed house. Good to see everybody.
Yeah.
Good players on the field.
Sure, who I was talking to there.
It's great. Told our ball club. Got to win it for the fans. It's great. We need to get him on again. It's been a while. It's been too long.
It has been a while. Well, he's been mentoring and tutoring Eddie George.
Yeah, he's busy. He's ignoring my calls, so it's okay. Just kidding. But, it was good. I ran into people.
You were
I haven't
not
seen.
Running at the ballpark.
Okay, I walked into the general vicinity of people that I haven't seen since like high school, and that was crazy. And I'm like on my birthday running into people, so it was good. And then had the soccer game Saturday night, which was cool. Another draw. Like I thought that the Nashville SC was going to lose, and it was a game that honestly they really didn't have any business losing. And
they like that extra time, don't they?
They like that stoppage time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up tying it up and getting the draw and getting the point. So that was cool as well. So it was a good weekend. How about you?
It was actually really low key. It was pretty nice.
That's good. Well, your family's been at the beach, right?
Yeah, they're back. But yeah, they've been gone. But it's been a while since it's been that low key. But I just chilled out, man. I relaxed. I didn't do a whole lot of anything, which was quite nice.
Yeah.
It was a quiet weekend.
I really enjoyed the Vanderbilt NC State matchup on Saturday. Oh wait,
yeah, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen. But you know, Vandy's to blame. Everybody pick on Vandy. It's all Vandy's fault. So yeah, they did it.
It's pretty amazing how that all took a turn for the worse over the weekend. Pretty crazy the stuff that people are out there saying. The disdain for Vanderbilt baseball is pretty amazing.
I don't get it. I mean,
that's what happens when you – I get it when you win, but, I mean, wow. I mean, wow.
Right. I mean, but it's like I've kind of interacted with some people on Twitter, and I've seen the – you know, what people are saying. And my whole thing is, what do you want them to do? If Vandy – because I've seen this group of people that their rationale is, well, you know, they should bow out. It's the right thing to do.
Oh, my God.
What?
Stop it.
How is that the right thing to do? So you're going to hand it to Mississippi State then?
Or it's just, I mean, like some of this stuff out there that's just so stupid. I mean, I just get off of social because I'm just like, you're dumb.
Well, I did too. But
you're stupid. So I'm not even going to waste my time looking at this stuff. It's such a waste of time and – such a joke. If that's all you have to offer the world on social media, just get off. Do us all a favor, please. Close your account and go do something else.
Yeah,
it's just stupidity. I mean, some of the stuff. I mean, wait, Vanderbilt should have waited for NC State. What? What? Yeah. Oh, that's Vanderbilt's decision. Yeah, NCAA. We're gonna wait till NC State gets past all this. So if you could just shut down the College World Series. And we're going to wait till they get out of protocols, and then we'll resume. Yeah, because that's how it works in Omaha. Sure. Yeah. That's Vanderbilt's decision.
Because you have time to do that.
Like I said, those people, just go away. Like, close your account, delete it, and just go away. Go do something else.
Right. It's silly. It's just – that's what it is. It's silly. It is all silly to think that, you know, because – we know Tim Corbin. We know how that program is put together. And that's not what they wanted. You know, they want to go out there and they want to earn it. And unfortunately, they weren't given that opportunity. It just, it's a difficult situation if you're NC State and if you're the NCAA and having to make a ruling on this. And nobody wanted that, but unfortunately, that's what happened. And so they had to, you know, they played the game with 14 players on Friday, and then they had to bow out on Saturday because they didn't have enough. They had everybody in protocol. But to say that it's Vandy's fault and that they didn't deserve it, you know, yeah, I get it. They even got to that game because of a wild pitch and having to come back in the ninth inning against Stanford. But guess what? That's sports.
That has nothing to do with anything. Honestly, Mississippi State, oh, they didn't have – there would be no hit through seven.
But people try and use that as well. You know, they just barely got there anyway. They didn't deserve it. Like, it's irrelevant.
It's just like, just close your account. Just delete it and go do whatever people like that do. I don't know. Go live on an island or something. I mean, you're just the stupidity, like I said, of the stuff. Like, I just – literally ignored and just got off because I'm like, I don't need to get any dumber. Like, I'm just getting dumber reading this stuff. Like, I'm losing brain cells, right? I can't afford to lose brain cells. So I'm just going to stop reading these stupid tweets and posts on social media because these people are just clueless. Here's a dollar. Go downtown. Buy a clue. I mean, what in the world? Some of the stuff that's being said. Oh, and by the way, NC State, you're not going to direct anything towards them? Nothing? Like, it's unfortunate. But, I mean, hello? I mean, we've talked about this all day Friday. Hello? I mean, we've kind of learned some stuff since then. I mean, they were pretty laxed on things they needed to do, okay? So they don't get anything. That was their choice, and that's fine. So this is what happens. This is the consequences. Sorry. That's the rules. I mean, you played with fire and you got burned. Sorry. That's your decision and that's okay. But don't, you know, cry now. It's like, it stinks. Yeah, it's unfortunate. They were really good. It may have been the magical run. Maybe they put it together at the right time and maybe NC State would have won it all. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll never know. You know, the whole the asterisk next to it. Give me a break. I mean, just enough. Did Vanderbilt gain an advantage from this? Yes, absolutely. It has set them up perfectly. Does that mean they're going to win? No. But did they get a huge advantage from this? Yes. Guess what? When Texas and Mississippi State were playing Saturday night and I was watching, they were burning up pitchers and they were playing. And Vanderbilt got to sit and do nothing. Is that an advantage? Yes.
Yep.
But it's to no fault of theirs. I mean, they didn't do anything. They just learned of the news.
Right. And I mean, now, you know, you have Jack Leiter that will be good to go. And that obviously helps things. But listen, this is where we are right now. And, you know, I hate it because that was the same thing. I wanted to see what NC State could do. You know, yes, Vanderbilt's here. And, you know, I'm a Vanderbilt fan. But I wanted to see two really good games, and the best team of those two games come out of it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Vandy wins. I mean,
I'm not sure they do either.
I mean, I still haven't seen them. I mean, yeah, they're winning, but I mean, I still haven't been, you know, and I understand this stuff is hard. Look, for all the people think you're supposed to, I get it. NC State lost Arkansas, which, by the way, was the last time they lost before Friday afternoon, was 21-2 to Arkansas. Like, you don't get to the College World Series and expect blowouts. I mean, I understand Vanderbilt at times, it's like you're going, their bats have been kind of quiet, you know, but they're not going to win games 12-0. That's not how it works in the College World Series. This is the best 8 teams in the country left standing that made it to Omaha. What did you think? Of course these games are going to be close. Of course these games are going to be winning on the last pitch, the last strike, the last out, the last wild pitch. However, all the crazy finishes we've seen, right? I mean, that's the College World Series. But I mean, I don't know if Vanderbilt beats NC State twice. I'm not sure. we still don't know what they would have done on Saturday if it made it to Saturday.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll never know.
What did you think about Elliot Avent's comments? You could tell the frustration with him. And he said just part of it is these are young men that can make their own decisions, and that's what they did. He said he wasn't trying to put his values on them or his opinions, that they can make their own decisions. But you could certainly tell that he was frustrated, and rightfully so, with the situation.
Once again, what I said. Are you really – by the way, are you going to say anything about NC State? I mean, this is Vanderbilt's fault? By the way, they've been doing their thing, okay? I mean, once again, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but there are consequences.
Sure.
And they now have to deal with the consequences. Their season ended because of their decisions, and that stinks. It's horrible, but – because you know what? It's been a while since we've talked about this, right? I mean, it's almost we felt like this was in the past. I know it's not gone, but I mean, when's the last shutdown of a game or something like this happening? What can you remember? Hockey, NBA. I mean, hockey. Well, it's been a while. What, a couple months for hockey? Yeah.
I mean,
Dallas had their issues.
Duke having to pull out of the ACC tournament ending their season.
Yep.
You know,
I guess March?
Yeah, it was – well, yeah.
We're in late June.
Yeah.
So it's been months since all this is – you know, since we – so we kind of got used to, oh, they're just going to play, right? I mean,
yeah.
Nobody really – that thought never crossed anybody's mind that this was actually going to happen in Omaha, did it? I mean, it didn't mind. I figured – you know, they're in Omaha. There's eight teams left. They've made it through the regionals, super regionals, and everything's going to be fine. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. So I understand that thought process, but, you know, you, like I said, go read the stuff. It's like, well, I mean, they made their decisions, and that's fine. But this is what – and then this happened. So, sorry, but those are the breaks.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we are. That's where we are right now. And so my whole thing is, like, if you – and I get it. You know, part of it is Vanderbilt wins now. Vanderbilt is in a different category because they're the defending national champions, they're a perennial powerhouse, and they're just people that they – when a team wins all the time, like, they're the enemy. Okay, fine.
That happens in sports.
If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I've been guilty of that. I didn't like the Patriots because of that. So
hey, that's
totally fine.
Heaping a lot of praise toward Tim Corbin,
sure,
and his program. If
sure.
People have reached the point where Vanderbilt is the villain just simply because they win all the time, I mean, kudos.
People don't like him because
of the damn Whistler.
I want
to be there.
I mean, I know people don't like him because of the Whistler. Like, okay, whatever. But whatever your reason is, that's fine. But blaming them and saying that, you know, they needed to pull out, or, you know, wait on NC State, or this is their fault. Like, that's just ridiculous. That is a load of bull. That's what that is. So if you don't like them because they win, fine. Like, I don't have any issue with that. That's whatever. But anything else?
But you've got a word or two about some bets.
Well,
and then we'll come back and go to Omaha.
I think we're doing that after.
After Kevin?
I'm not ready.
Okay. All right. We'll come back. We'll go to Omaha. We will talk to Kevin Ingram, the voice of Vanderbilt baseball. We will do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Dunnick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Dunnick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe with you. Max Herz on our Wholesale Link Game Studio board, powered by RumbleOn.com. Penny Hardaway in Memphis, huh? We shall see.
I saw that.
A lot of rumors out there. A lot of rumors that he may not be in the college ranks.
Well, Chauncey Billups goes to Portland.
That's been met with concrete shoes and a swimming pool. That hasn't been met very well. Damian Lillard not exactly happy about that hire.
Now, see, I heard different. I was watching ESPN, and they were saying that Chauncey Billups and Dame had been talking and –
no, he wanted Jason Kidd.
Yeah, evidently Jason Kidd's.
Evidently, the fan base hasn't been too pleased about the hire either. Anyway, let's head out to Omaha. That's the site of College World Series. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. Game one tonight. The voice of the Doors is on the line with us, Kevin Ingram. Kevin, really not much to talk about. So it's been pretty quiet the last.
Yeah, so how's your summer?
How's everything going?
Hey, can we do a little basketball trivia to start?
Sure.
You know who Penny Hardaway's last college game was against when he played at Memphis State?
I believe it was against Western Kentucky, your alma mater.
It was indeed against Western Kentucky, my alma mater. 1993 in Orlando, me and my buddies made the trip down and we saw it. It was great.
Of course you did. So what do I get?
I'll give you a red towel. How about that? And a little penny doll.
And a little penny doll. Hey, that'll be cool. I'll take that. All right. Kevin, what do you make? We talked the first segment about this vitriol that's out there about Vanderbilt and what took place on Saturday morning. Wee hours of Saturday morning and NC State season getting shut down and just how everybody has taken it out on Vanderbilt. Like somehow this is their fault. I was blown away by it. I had to eventually just get off social media. It was so stupid. So I was like, I'm not going to waste any more of my time looking at this nonsense. But what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't understand how in any way Vanderbilt is the villain in all this. It makes no sense. But I've embraced it. I'm dressing in head to toe in black tonight for the game. So I don't get all this. Man, there's people on there burning T-shirts and stuff. What are we doing here? If Stanford throws one more strike on Wednesday night, they're in the middle of all this stuff. It makes zero sense to me. And you know, people questioning Tim Corbin's integrity and all those things, like, man, there's no higher character person or program in the game than that guy. So come on. People saying Vanderbilt cheated. And I hear all these people around here saying all kinds of stuff. And, what are you supposed to do? That Vanderbilt should just, like, decline the spot and just go home? But I'm sure if it was, the roles were reversed and it was another team, that they would gladly say, no, we're just going to go home. And we'll decline and we'll just, do whatever. Or,
no, Kevin, that's what those people are saying. Yes. No, that's what those people are saying. That's the level of stupidity that's out there. Yes.
It's just total silliness. And so I'm very much ready to get back. At some point it has to get back to baseball, right? You have to get back to playing baseball games.
Yeah, tonight.
So
yeah.
I'm looking forward
to 6 o'clock
tonight. Right. Yeah, exactly. Get back to actually playing games.
Yeah, I don't want to look into it. You're out there. No, Corb since day one, man. He has been on the show hundreds and hundreds of times and been around him, away from the field. Just obviously, like you said, Kevin, Tim and Maggie, great family. He's an incredible human being. Not only is he the best baseball coach in the country, an incredible human being, but I was watching their body language yesterday on the Zoom calls. they're meeting the media. It seems like they were a little bit irked, I guess is maybe the word. I know Kumar pulled the Marshawn Lynch at Super Bowl. I'm just here so I won't get fined. that's what it felt like, his presser. But even Tim, I know Tim pretty well. I read his body language. He even didn't seem like his normal, seemed like he was off a tick or two. Is that fair to say? Do you think that they are a little bit peeved by all this?
I don't know. I watched the same thing you did, Darren, but I don't know. I'd be interested to, like, in an honest moment, how really the whole group really feels about this stuff. I think more than anything, it's just kind of right place, wrong time for this team that, everybody for Vanderbilt wanted to play one more game and wanted to play NC State at full strength and do it the right way. It just didn't happen. I don't know what else, I don't know what else Vandy's guys are supposed to do in this spot. You only play the games that you can play, and it's just such a weird deal. But yeah, I would say more than anything, just ready to kind of put this aside and move forward. It really puts a damper on what's been a great postseason run for this group. It's not like it's any fluke that Vanderbilt's here. Been one of the best teams in the country the whole season and gone 8-1 in the postseason. The only loss was that 1-0 game against NC State last Monday. So it's not like Vanderbilt's not a deserving team to be here. I don't know. It feels to me like it's taken some of the it's really sucked a lot of the fun out of this cool experience here in Omaha. And I'm hoping that when you get back to actually playing games, you sort of get back to that feeling of, okay, we're in the College World Series again and not all this other stuff.
Come on, Kevin. They're playing close games. I mean, they're not winning 12-1, so, you know, they're lucky. They're lucky to be in this spot. I mean, they're playing close games in the College World Series against the best teams in the country. I mean, you're supposed to blow everybody out to get to this stage. I mean, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, it doesn't exactly work that way, does it? I mean, these other teams are good, too. I mean, you got 8 good teams out here in Omaha. So, yeah, you're not going to hammer everybody 10-1, and it's not the way it works.
By the way, what were they thinking on Friday, winning by 2 runs? They're supposed to win everything by a run.
Yeah, I know. That was a laugher compared to some of the other games.
Right. Yeah, Friday was a laugher. So what are your thoughts on, you know, how this all sets up, whether it's 2 games, 3 games, however this plays out, Monday, Tuesday, and possibly Wednesday? How does this set up pitching-wise? Obviously, and I said this at the beginning, there's no secret. It's not Vanderbilt's fault, but there is an advantage. I mean, this is a huge advantage for them moving forward. Jack Leiter is going to be fully rested. And, yes, Tim Corbin has not made it official, but I think we all can put together and connect those dots that he'll be on the bump tonight. But how do you think this all sets up for Vanderbilt for this week?
I think it probably sets up pretty well. You know, one of the other things that was lost in all this, and there's a lot of talk about, well, Jack Leiter, you know, that saved him because he would have pitched on Saturday. There's no guarantee he would have pitched on Saturday. In fact, I don't think he would have started on Saturday, if you ask me. That would have gone against what they typically do in terms of, you know, resting their guys. I'm not saying, and again, that's just my own speculation, sure, just kind of based on what I've observed. But, you know, they're usually pretty careful with those guys. And he threw a lot of pitches last Monday. So I don't think it was any guarantee that he was going to pitch on Saturday. You know, this might have been his normal spot anyway. I saw somebody say, well, he should throw a 100-pitch bullpen session to make it fair. I think, yeah, that's a great idea. But as far as, you know, what's to come in this series, I mean, I would expect we'll see Leiter tonight. Tomorrow we'll see maybe Patrick Riley. We, of course, saw Christian Little make a start last week. On Wednesday, if you get that far, you got to think there's an appearance by Kamar Rocker at some point, whether it's a start or it's in relief or whatever. I got to think biggest game of the year, last game of the year, last game of
career.
Their careers at Vanderbilt. So, yeah, you got to think AD's going to be out there at some point. But the real story for Vanderbilt in this College World Series has been the bullpen. The 3 M's, as I call them, Maldonado and McIlvain and Murphy, those guys have been lights out. They've been so good. And this series is going to be an interesting matchup of bullpens because Mississippi State,
same,
I mean, you know,
deal,
what you're getting on the back end of their pen with Landon Sims. That guy's a beast. It was a great series when the teams played in Nashville. Vanderbilt won 2 out of 3. I've told a lot of people that the game on Sunday that Vanderbilt came back and won 7-4, I thought that was the most fun game of the entire regular season. And I remember thinking at that point, this is a matchup we might see down the road in maybe a super regional or a World Series or something like that. And here we are with Vanderbilt and Mississippi State again.
Yeah, I wonder, in Mississippi State, their pitching staff, I'm pretty sure they lead the country in strikeouts, do they not?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they set the all-time college record for strikeouts. Mm. They've had so many this season. Yeah, they struck out 21 in that first game against Texas. I went to that game. I mean, if you're keeping a scorecard, I mean, all you really need to do is, like, write K in every box because that's what it was. It was, and that was something to watch with Bednar and then Sims after him.
Bednar's a beast. I mean, they got several beasts, but Bednar especially.
No doubt. Speaking with Kevin Ingram out in Omaha, site of the College World Series. So, in your mind, what is – you said you've seen that series. You've seen what it looks like against Mississippi State. You've been out there. You've seen Mississippi State up close and personal on their run to this stage. What's the key for Vanderbilt in your mind, Kevin? How do you see this kind of playing out in Vanderbilt's advantage? What do they need to do?
Well, you know, one of the things is got to come up with some big hits, score some more runs. The offense has sputtered at times for Vanderbilt, and I think everybody around this program would say that you know, just got to put some more runs on the board. And they had a chance to blow that game open against NC State on Friday and stranded a bunch of base runners, just never could really get that big hit to make it a 4-run game or something like that. And the offense has been a struggle at times, but again, you're facing good pitching in all these teams. And I think Mississippi State will bring more of the same. Now, The thing about Mississippi State is their lineup is very experienced. They have guys that have been here. Tanner Allen's player of the year in the SEC. Rowdy Jordan's played in the World Series before. I was looking at the box score when these two teams played in 2019 here in Omaha. Vanderbilt won that game. But, yeah, you got several guys that are part of this Mississippi State lineup who've played in the College World Series before. So, you know, the experience factor in terms of that is on Mississippi State's side. And, man, their lineup, they're just tough. They got some swagger. They're not going to beat you down with a bunch of home runs. They can hit one when they need one. Tanner Allen hit that big one against Virginia a few games ago. But, you know, just kind of single and doubles and just score runs and gritty team. Man, they're tough. They really are a good team. I thought all along that they were one of the best teams in the country and one of the best teams I'd seen out here in Omaha. So it really will be a big challenge for Vanderbilt to take two out of three here.
Kevin Ingram is with us as he will be on the call as Vanderbilt opens the College World Series final tonight against Mississippi State. You brought up Rowdy Jordan and Tanner Allen for the Diamond Dogs, as they say. Some other players through that lineup that Vandy's going to have to be careful of. Who do you think?
Well, they have like three guys with the name Tanner. You know, Tanner Leggett had that big hit the other night. You know, he was more of in a reserve role, but. You know, like I say, I mean, it's just so much experience up and down when you look at this team that they put out there. And, you know, Hancock and I don't have their lineup right in front of me. But, like I say, a lot of these guys have just played a lot of baseball. Scotty DeBrule has, I think he's played more games in college baseball than anybody in the country. But yeah, it's just so many of these dudes who are just super experienced and, you know, they've been in these spots before. They played in big games and they played some great games with Texas here in Omaha. The three games they played against the Longhorns were probably three of the best games of the whole World Series. But, you know, Cameron James and Luke Hancock and Logan Tanner, the catcher, he's, you know, another guy who's, you know, been around and has had some big games here. And Brad Cumbus, who's a tight end on their football team. He's a big old dude, plays in the outfield. But, yeah, they just have, like I say, just a lot of guys who've been here and done that, and it'll be tough.
You know, we started this talking about Tim Corbin, and we all know Tim and what kind of a person he is, what kind of a program he runs. Win, lose, draw, doesn't matter the outcome of this series. When you look at the coaching job he's had to do with this entire season, missing a season last year because of COVID, starting this year, you know, with COVID still very much in play, and obviously it's still very much in play now, where would you put this in your years of covering the team and coaching jobs that he's had to do? It's clearly been more difficult than we've seen in years past.
Yeah, Chase, I think you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, even going back to last year, as you referenced with COVID and missing the World Series, that was such a crushing blow to everybody. I mean, we all got cheated out of what would have been a good team last year. And, you know, we got cheated out of, most of a season of Rocker and Leiter. No telling what might have happened in 2020. But, you know, and I was out there in the fall when they were working out and practicing and getting in their fall training. And, you could see this team had the makings of maybe something special, and you knew with those arms and some of the guys in the bullpen, which not all of them were very experienced, that you know this team would have a chance to do something special. But to me, it started to click in SEC play. Well, first we went to Oklahoma State and took two out of three out there against a good team. It's like, okay, that was a pretty nice series win right there. But then SEC play got started and came up with a couple sweeps on the road, beat Missouri and LSU, and you know, granted, those maybe not have been the top of the heap teams in the SEC this season, but you know, you go on the road and sweep anybody in the conference, it's big. And then I thought, really, in a lot of ways, that series against Mississippi State was one where you saw this team, you know, really do something I thought significant in winning two out of three against one of the best teams in the country and winning a big game on a Sunday when you're behind and you got to come back and get great work and long relief out of McIlvain and Maldonado. And it's been a great season. They've, you know, gone on the road and played well, won two out of three against Tennessee, which made it to the World Series. And, you've seen the attendance was able to pick up at Hawkins Field, which really seemed to make a difference. That series in Vandy, Mississippi State played was the first time really a lot of fans have been allowed into the ballpark. And, you know, that was a big factor. But, you know, in terms of the coaching job Tim Corbin's done and Scott Brown and his whole staff, you know, Mike Baxter and David Macias, I think they've done a tremendous job because there are a lot of challenges with all the COVID stuff and all the testing they have to do and trying to keep people healthy. And really, this team's played around some significant injuries, too. Tate Colwick, the starting second baseman, missed a whole lot of the season a couple times with injuries, had to have surgery. Carter Young hurt his shoulder toward the end of the regular year. Sam Loboke would have been a significant part of the bullpen, is, you know, missed almost the whole season. So been a lot of challenges, but they've done a great job, and now right here on the doorstep of winning another national championship.
You know, we've talked a lot about Carter Young and, you know, trying to get him going again. He's battled through the injuries. You just mentioned the injuries that they've gone through. He's had a couple of big hits here and there, but can you just tell that he's been bugged by the injury and just hasn't been able to get consistent?
Yeah, I think it did bother him, especially when he first came back. He missed the last three games. He missed the end of the regular season, missed the series with Kentucky, and then he missed the SEC tournament, came back for the NCAA tournament. For a while there, he's a switch hitter. He was only batting left-handed because I guess it was a little easier on his shoulder to bat only lefty instead of right-handed. To me, he's looked more comfortable from the left side than from the right side even now. But it's a shame he had that injury because he had a great season. And he's really a talented player, and it's been unfortunate to see him have a couple miscues in the field where he's about as sure-handed as it gets at shortstop typically. It just seems like, you know, he's kind of battled it a little bit since he's come back from that shoulder injury. But, you know, he's also hit a home run here in Omaha and done some good things. And he's a really a talented guy. And, hoping for a big series for him here in this last three-game set against Mississippi State.
You know, Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt, they're no strangers to having freshmen play big roles on the big stage. But just how impressed have you been with SEC Freshman of the Year Enrique Bradfield Jr.?
Oh, he's been really fun to watch throughout the season, getting on base and stealing bases. It's funny, he hasn't really ran very much in the postseason when he's been on base. I mean, it's been such a part of his game and making things happen and making people rush a throw or something like that, but we've not seen him run very much in the postseason. I wonder if that's something that might change as we go through the series. But you know, some things don't change. He's a tremendous outfielder. You know, for a guy who is a true freshman playing at this level, he takes great angles to the ball. It seems like he's always in the right spot, and he's just been tremendous. He's had a great season. I think. Probably if you'd told folks around this program he was going to hit like he has, they'd have been very excited about that. And he's hit well. He's got on base. He's got 48 stolen bases on the season, or 46. And, he's been a joy to watch. He's really been a lot of fun this season.
Kevin, as we wrap this up, Bicycle Boy has texted in and asked if you can do a Jared Stillman impression. I don't know if you have that in your repertoire, but maybe something to work on for next time.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to go to the lab and work on a Jared Stillman impersonation. I was on with Jared the other day. I'd not given that one much thought. Maybe I should work on that.
I think that.
But by the way,
go ahead.
Where is Willie today? I mean, these are the biggest games of the Vanderbilt baseball season. He's a Vanderbilt baseball alum, and he's not here. Where's Will?
He couldn't take the pressure. He literally could not take it. He was having a meltdown this morning. He's like,
I
couldn't wait till 6 o'clock. I mean, he literally was taking a cold bath.
I'm going to defend my guy now.
It was tough. I mean, he didn't sleep last night. And
well, this is all probably true.
Coach Willie's a wreck. I mean, he's a wreck, Kevin.
Coach Willie.
Oh, Coach Willie is a wreck. I mean, he was afraid I was going to get on here and guarantee Vanderbilt wins tonight. I mean, there was just a lot going on. He had this, yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, he's down in Georgia. Big tournament in East Cobb. And I think there were like 68 teams in that as well, or 60-something teams. And they're really good, but they did not expect to make it this far. They're in the Final Four of this tournament.
Excellent.
Yeah, so they're playing this
Mahoney had to pitch, had some big moments to get him there.
Well, he had a big pinch hit.
Pinch hit, that's what it was, pinch hit.
He had a big pinch hit appearance yesterday to get a big win for them in extra innings, so. Yeah.
Did he homer like his dad did, you know, for Medicine Hat?
No, he has, but he did.
His base is loaded.
He has not had one in this tournament.
His base is loaded and got a big hit to beat a nationally ranked team, and then and
very
that's
good.
How they moved
like
moved
it.
Into the Final Four. So that's yep. where Willie is.
Yep. Kevin, really appreciate the time as always. Enjoy it, man. We're jealous. Wish we could do this interview in person. I wish we were out there. I'm going to get out there one day. It's embarrassing to say I've never been there, but I'm going
to
fix it.
We just need to take the show out there because I've never been there. You've never been there. Willie has, but we can make it happen.
If you get off the air today, you hop in the car and you drive out here. You're here in time for tomorrow.
10 hours.
Ooh.
It's only like a 12-hour drive.
Oh, 12 hours. Ugh, even worse.
Well, you know, if I can drive to South Dakota on Saturday, you guys can drive up here.
Did you do that?
I did. That was one of the 7 states I had not visited, and had some unexpected free time on Saturday. So I thought, you know what, this is the spot. I found a rental car that wasn't too expensive at the airport, so I went and picked it up and. I drove up to South Dakota. It was about an hour and a half up the road.
Oh.
It's just on the other side of Sioux City, Iowa. So I drove into South Dakota and I went to the little town where the University of South Dakota is located. I think it's pronounced Vermilion. But I kind of took a lap around there, just stopped in, had a little snack with some of the locals at a, you know, just a little sports bar there in town, and hopped back in the car and came back to Omaha. But that was fun. So I got 44 states down and 6 to go. So that marked one off the list on this trip.
Have you been to North Dakota?
No, I've not been to North Dakota. It was a little bit farther up the drive. If I got an earlier start, I might have done it, but that might have been an overnight trip. We were going to go to North Dakota a couple of years ago when we were in Minnesota, but it was just one of those things that just didn't happen. So, yeah, I've got 6 more to go. I don't know if I'll ever make it to all of them, but, I'll mark them off a little bit at a time here.
I believe in you, Kevin.
Sounds like you did a little Chevy Chase at the Grand Canyon for South Dakota. Put your arm around somebody, shook your head, said, all right, back to Omaha.
<That's right.
laughs> Cross it off the list.
We got back in the family truckster and came back to Omaha.
Roll them up.
Kevin, good stuff. Hey, enjoy it. We'll be watching tonight and listening. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
Kevin Ingram out in Omaha tonight. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, all SEC National Championship Game 1 tonight at 6 o'clock. Now you're going to talk about some bets.
Yes, I am ready to go because summer is here and the sports betting action is heating up at BetMGM. Are you ready to feel some playoff excitement in hockey and basketball? Just sign up with BetMGM, use the code 1025GAME, and your first wager is totally risk-free up to $600. When you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on your favorite sports. Whether you're a fan of MLS or MLB, you can make every goal and every home run mean so much more with the king of sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com. Enter that code 1025GAME and get back up to $600 on your very first wager. New customer offer, paid in free bets, must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning, we've got a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at Ascend Amphitheater on July 16th. That'll be, this is what I know, coming up at 11:45, so about an hour from now, we will have that. So keep that in mind. We'll talk with TD coming up to start the second hour. Of course, every week he's presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Good stuff there from Kevin Ingram, as always. And we shall see. Can't wait for tonight. Can't wait to get this thing going. I do think once
it's a good
they,
sports night.
They get going, you know, hopefully a lot of this will just calm down. For some people, it will not, no matter what, especially if Vanderbilt wins. I mean, that's the part of this. But, you know, you can't worry about those people. Honestly, you just can't. If I'm Vanderbilt, if just like I said, I asked Kevin about it. He didn't really see it. That's fine. I just kind of felt like yesterday they were a little bit, I don't know, off with kind of their, you know, the way they are. Just knowing Tim, look, they know what's being said. I mean, if people tell them. And so,
sure. Of course they do.
They have the right to be
but
irked
use
by
it.
That.
Use it to your advantage. That's how I look at it. Use it. Use that chip on your shoulder and use it to your advantage. And I think Tim knows how to use that.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. Game one, Monday and Tuesday. Game two, Tuesday. And, of course, you have to win two. And if not, if it's split, then they'll play on Wednesday. So no more days off. They will get after it. And can Vanderbilt do what, very, very, very few people have done? Tim Corbin, that would be his third national championship. How many trips is this to Omaha now? Or to five, right? And
yeah.
Four to the national championship game? Is that right?
Yeah, and they – so – to this point, they've won two and lost one. Yep. Yep, that sounds right. Hmm. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a good sports night. Like, there's a lot going on. You got Stanley Cup Final getting underway between Montreal and Tampa. You got game five between Phoenix and the Clippers. So there's a lot. There's a lot you can take in tonight, which is – very rare for late June. so that's nice.
Yep. No doubt about it. So we shall see. It is a good sports night, and you do have Montreal and Tampa getting things cranked up in the Stanley Cup playoffs or Stanley Cup final. Game one tonight. We'll see how this all plays out. Boy, I think it's going to be low scoring. The way the two goalies play, I know Tampa is electric with their offense, but Montreal's done a great job of keeping things low scoring, just like the Islanders. Islanders did a great job with Tampa minus the 8-0 game. So I think this is going to be a low scoring affair. I think it's going to be a lot of fun as well. But gosh, in the end, I'm rooting for Shea Weber, but I don't think Montreal's got enough.
I don't either.
To beat this Tampa team. I just think they're just that good.
Yeah, I do too. And, you hate it for Barry Trotz and the Islanders that they got it to seven, but it just wasn't enough. And I agree. I just think Montreal, it's been an awesome story, been an awesome run. And who knows, maybe they prove us wrong once again. But I just think Tampa, with the firepower they have and then Vasilevskiy in between the pipes, it's just – way too much to overcome. And it's funny, I can remember having the conversation on the show when they won the President's Trophy and got swept, and there were times where it looked like, hey, they had the best team and they just couldn't get a playoff run going. What did that mean for John Cooper? And here he is sitting on the doorstep of back-to-back Stanley Cup championship. So just tells you a lot about him and about that team. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a fun series, but we'll see how long it goes.
Yeah, boy, Tampa, they're calling it Title Town. If they win again, man, that city is just they are just soaking it all in. Super Bowl victory in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning have an opportunity. Back-to-backs.
Rays were in the World Series.
Rays lost in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, they have they've experienced a lot, so it's certainly been a good time for them. So, I my gut tells me, and when we were talking on the money line, and I think I even said this on Darren Donick and Chase on Friday, my heart wanted to say the Islanders, my gut said Tampa. My heart is with Shea Weber and in Montreal to get this done, because he deserves it so much, and others too. Carey Price, there are other players on that team that deserve it, but my gut says Tampa. So my brain says Tampa.
I think Tampa and six is probably realistic.
Six is probably a good evaluation, because I think Montreal puts up a fight. I don't think they get swept, and I don't even think they'd lose in five. I mean, I think that series, even though the thing that really stinks is when the series does shift back, that, you know, they can't have the support that, you know, the American teams have been able to have a little bit, but it's like, it's still, could you imagine a packed building in Montreal in the Stanley Cup final, what that atmosphere would be like? So I hate that they're not able to experience that, but we'll see. So that'll get underway. You guys would be proud. If Elijah was here, he'd be proud. I watched a good bit of Bucks Hawks last night. And of course, I was pulling for the Hawks for various reasons, and that didn't work out. But
you probably didn't factor in Trey Young messing up his ankle.
No, I didn't factor that in. Didn't factor that in.
That probably didn't help things.
No. And you could tell, too, because, I mean, he came out there, and good on him for trying to tough it out. But he could not get anything going. And then Chris Middleton, like, that guy couldn't miss. Middleton, which is everything he threw up there, went in. So I didn't factor that in either. But, yeah, Trae Young, every time he dribbled, he was grimacing, moving up and down the court. And then he couldn't plant right to take a shot. His shots were off. He hit the 1-3. In the closing minutes, but just everything was off because of that ankle. So, you know, when your best player goes down like that, that doesn't help. And then they just, nobody else could hit. They couldn't do anything. So
it does feel like it's going to be the Suns and the Hawks. I mean, Suns, yeah, and the Bucks.
Yep.
And you do wonder, not that I care, but, you know, we do talk about it a lot on the show. I wonder what Canadiens, Lightning, we had Richard Deitch on Friday. He suspects the ratings are going to be way down. Obviously, having a Canadian team in there will affect NBC's ratings. But tonight is on NBCSN.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of when's the next – Friday night is going to be – Game 3 is going to be the first game on NBC.
So they're not putting anything on USA? I mean, they've
– Well, Games 1 and 2 are NBCSN.
Wow. That they're
game,
actually using
game
NBCSN.
Game 3 is NBC. Game 4 is NBC. Game 5, it looks like they go NBC the rest of the way.
Yeah. So
games 1 and 2, NBCSN, and the rest of the series will be NBC.
So I would say because of the markets for, you know, the NBA and for the NHL, the ratings would be down, and you would make that argument. But the other part that I'll make, I think that even if you had, like, if it was the Kings and the Rangers playing each other, the two biggest markets in the country, I still could see the ratings being down because people were trapped in their homes for so long. I just think people are getting out. I think it's more and more. They're just, you're not going to get viewership like maybe you would before the pandemic or obviously during the pandemic because people are just so glad to be out. And so they're, and I know they factor in sports bars and things, but they're watching out. They're watching at different places. They're not just sitting at their homes watching. So I think that could certainly factor some things in. But, you know, we've obviously seen some improvement in some sports with ratings. You know, the Nashville race for NASCAR had excellent ratings, doubled NBC Sports Network's NASCAR ratings from their debut last year. So that says something, but yeah, I would expect lower ratings, just like Richard was saying.
It is a later time of year than normal. A lot of people are vacationing. People didn't get to vacation last year, so there's no doubt that is going to be way, way up, even probably more than ever, just because nobody was able to do anything last year. So there's no doubt that is in play, but I do wonder how much intrigue there is with Suns, Bucks, and, you know, Canadians and Lightning. How much, you know, the rest of the country outside of those markets really cares about those matchups. I don't know.
Robbie just texted me and said, I hear Game 7 is going to be on the Weather Channel.
Game 7 of hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could probably announce that. I don't think it's going to get to Game 7.
No.
I'd be surprised.
No, but I see his point. As yep. NBC clearly is just like, yep, we've had a good run. We'll put some games on USA, and then maybe we'll go back to NBCSN, but we're shutting that down.
Yeah, so. they got 1 foot out the door for sure.
They're ready to go.
We'll come back. We'll start hour number two. We'll talk with TD. We'll talk about the Titans about a month away from training camp beginning. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.